You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Tuesday's episode. I'm so sorry that I wasn't around yesterday for an episode. You know, technical errors. I brought the wrong equipment to LA, and I'm in Los Angeles right now, and I grabbed what I thought was all the right equipment to make this happen, and it turned out I was missing a vital piece of the puzzle that makes this podcast sound good. And yeah, I just went back to bed instead. We got up and I texted Noah and I text messaged Noah and Andrew to be like, I forgot the piece. I just pack so hastily and just in such a rush that sometimes my way of life doesn't work out for me. A lot of times it does. Like, I feel like the way that I don't spend like 5 hours packing for a trip like some people I know. And I'm saying that with disdain, but it's more like disdain for myself that I'm not as like organized. But I think some people spend like all day packing for a trip, and it's like, why? Just takes like, just throw some stuff in a suitcase. Like, I know people that are like, I have to pack for this trip, and they are like, it's like they go, I gotta go home, I'm leaving town on Monday, and I'm like, it's Thursday. They're like, I have to start packing for this trip. And I'm like, what do you need to do? Just put clothes in a thing and shut it.
I know people who buy new things for their trip. They'll go shopping for clothes to wear on the trip.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what people do, because on vacation you're like a better version of the person you are outside of vacation. So you have to, like, you know, you're going to take a lot of pictures. You're going to maybe see people that you don't normally see. So it has to be like, you're just, you know, you have to present this like better version of yourself. And it's fun to have like fresh vacation clothes for like a different climate. I think that's a lot of it. Yeah, I just don't understand just taking all, like, some people just are slower. And I wish I were sometimes because things like this happen. But I also get a lot more done, I think, because I do pack like a banshee before leaving. Like, I was just running around the house. Our flight was at,
let's
say it was at 10. Yeah, it was early. It was like 9 o'clock. And so I had to get into an Uber. I said 7:30, but that leaves me time to be late. So I just have to be at the airport 45 minutes. I check my bag 45 minutes before a flight because that's the cutoff time for checking a bag. And if you miss that, you can't get on the flight because you got to check a bag. So I always have to be there 45 minutes before. And I usually leave myself 10 minutes of wiggle room. So I try to get there 55 minutes before because I have status at all the airlines. So I can just get in the quick line. And if Andrew's with me, he can ask the person in front of me like, hey, can we get in front? But like, I never am, it's rare that I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to like not make this flight. So, but I always just wait to pack. Like, I'm serious. If I'm leaving at 7:30, so like my goal is 7:30. That's really not going to happen. It takes 20 minutes to get to the airport. That leaves me 10 minute window before I have to, or no, it leaves me a 25 minute window before my bags, before I would miss my flight, which is a good window. And, I probably start packing at, let's see, I'm leaving at 7:30. I wake up at 6:15 and then I eat breakfast and that I'm just like, I don't want to go pack. And then I probably start packing at like 6:45 and I'm just really dawdling because like I'm just like slow and it's the morning. And then I start looking at the clock and it's like 7 o'clock and then I'm like, okay, I have half hour. Like, that's fine. And then you start getting into toiletries and that's where it slows me down. And then it's the little things. It's just all like the chargers. Oh shit, I got to bring my podcasting equipment. And I did bring the right equipment. It is just Macs make their little port systems differently so that you have to buy all these attachments. I think that's the thing. Yep. You have to buy new chargers. And so I got screwed. And I don't know that I would have picked the right one even if I packed the night before. I think I would have done the same thing.
I have to say, though, I'm proud of you because you did something yesterday that I don't think you've done before while I was working with you. You said, you know what? I wouldn't mind taking the time off because we were talking about you going to get the cable. We're going to do this whole workaround.
It was such a gift. So I really appreciate the fans and iHeart and everyone allowing me to not have a podcast yesterday. It was freaking awesome. Even though, you know, if I'm looking at my day, it would have been the one thing I would have liked to keep doing instead of all the other stuff I did. But I had to go get my hair done and that takes 3 hours and cost $600. And I didn't even get a cut, Noah. Just a color, 3 hours, $600. And that is before tip. It was $550 before tip. And then I think I tipped 25%. So what is that? I don't even want to do the math. So got my hair done. Feel accomplished about that. Even though I'm having a little bit of stress about losing hair again. Like, I don't know, whenever I get my hair done, they do such a good job of blow drying it that it just feels so thin. Like, it feels so straight and thin. It doesn't have any kind of, like, messiness to it that it just feels like a little Willie Nelson ponytail. Like, it just, my ponytail is just so sad and like a little biker dude, like sticking out of a helmet. I'm having a little bit of hair anxiety, but I realized, like, someone asked me yesterday, like, do you register as tired ever? Like, how does it register for you? Like, what does that even feel like to you? And I was thinking that it doesn't really, I know right now I'm a little bit like good because I haven't had caffeine, but that's me uncaffeinated. I'm not necessarily like, I could go back to sleep right now, which I'm listening to this podcast about sleep that, you know, that guy that wrote, the sleep book that everyone was talking about last year. I forget what it's called. Why We Sleep.
Well, yeah.
He did a podcast with Sam Harris that I've been listening to. It's 4 hours long, but I've been crawling through it because it's packed with such great information. And they say, like, he says that, you know, people always ask me, how do you know if you're not getting good enough sleep? And the answer is, if your alarm goes off and you could keep sleeping, that means you're not sleeping enough. Like, plain and simple. So I'm always tired, if that's the answer. But who isn't? I mean, who gets up and is like, I think Kirsten is the only person I know who gets up and is like, I'm ready to get up. And my dad. Like, they both just like wake up naturally and like love, like even if Kirsten had the ability to sleep in, she wouldn't need to because she like goes to bed at the right time and wakes up. It's just so admirable. I am, okay, well there's a sign. I just yawned. Sorry if you yawned with me, that means you're empathetic. But my dad told me recently that, well, I know that when dogs yawn, it's not because they're tired, it's because they're happy and like excited. Which is, really? That's what I read from a Cesar Millan book. Oh my God, my cup matches my wall, matches my mic. Oh, my cankers are also back. And that always is a sign of life being a little bit more difficult. It really does put an overall damper on things when you have chronic mouth pain.
That's your work. You use your mouth for work.
Yeah. Yes. So it's been painful, but I'm getting ahead of them, so they're not going to get as bad as last time, I don't think. But it does scare me. And it's just like a symptom of being tired and stressed. And I have to do that mantra Carlisle gave me. I create joyful experiences for my loving world. I create joyful experiences for my loving world. I really do, But my friend asked me, how does tiredness register for you? Like, how do you know when you're tired? I know when babies are tired because they rub their eyes. You know, like that's a sign that a baby's, or they get cranky. I think that's how I know. I get depressed. I think my energy reserves, like the first thing my body does when it has energy is fight against my like low self-esteem. Like it creates like a barrier of like, That's what I save all my energy to do is like, even if I have the little bit, it's still like keeping me afloat of like, you're good enough. And like, I use that's always like my baseline energy. So when I'm sapped of energy, then I start using that energy that is being used to make me not depressed. And that's when I start, does that make sense? Like when I was anorexic, I started getting depressed because the last place your body goes to for fat before it takes every other piece of fat is your brain. And so then your brain starts eating it. You start like eating your brain because there's fat in your brain. But obviously that's not the first place a body is going to drain fat from. So like, I think my last line of defense for energy is like not worrying about what my body looks like, not worrying about my hair, not worrying about other people or like, and then when I get tired, I start to just get like really sad. And I think I need to start. It was an interesting question because I hadn't thought about it. Like, oh, what does tiredness to me feel like? I know it feels like, oh, I want a bed. But what is, I don't even know what that is. What does tiredness look like for you?
For me, I get like brain fog. Like it just feels like inside of my skull is empty. And no matter how much I search for it, I just can't find a brain in there.
Yes, that's it too. But that's interesting because when I get brain fog, I just think I'm stupid. I don't think I'm tired. I just think you're not funny. You never were. You don't deserve to be a comedian. Because a lot of times that happens to me when I'm working, you know, and I'm expected to be funny or entertaining and I'm just so boring and can't think of anything. And I just go to, this is who you really are. You're like not funny. But it's just, that's tiredness. Kirsten said it on a group chat the other day of like Nikki, like brain, like feeling dumb and feeling like not funny is like when she said something like when I'm tired, when she's tired, like her brain is just like, duh. And I'm just like, I never connected those things. It's so weird to be 37 and still learning like basic things about your body that,
well,
like I always took it as like, I'm dumb. I like, that's who I really am. And like, and because I am so, because my defenses are down for having like any, because I'm dumb, I can't even reason that that is tiredness. I'm like, it's 'cause I'm dumb. Like dumbness makes you think you're dumb. Does that make sense? Like, instead of it's like, oh, I'm smart enough to know that this is tiredness, I'm too dumb to even know it.
I don't know. I think it's maybe self-awareness, but it is interesting because I was just thinking about it this morning and I was reminding myself of what joy feels like, because I'm, you know, like, I think something so important that I learned is that our bodies have physical responses to our emotions. And it's important to see like what, like if you can just recognize what happens to your body when you're mad, when you're happy, when you're tired, you'll get a better understanding of yourself.
Yes. About how your physical body feels, checking in with your body when you feel those feelings.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm so muted with my whole body. Like I remember going to a somatic like therapist, and she would be like, so what are you feeling right now? Like, where is it in your body? And I was just like, I don't even know what that means. I would just like make up, I'd be like, my foot, I don't know, like, because my bunion would be hurting or something. I mean, I guess that's an answer, but like, I never connect. Like, right now, I'm really,
go for it, yawn, do it,
tired. And like, I'm trying to think of where I'm feeling this tiredness. Well, it's in my brain.
Think about the meditations that Sam Harris teaches, and he also was very helpful in teaching me that. And he's like, when you close your eyes, focus on the breathing, and that could be anywhere. For me, it was the tip of my nostrils, but it could be your elbow, it could be your belly
or your
button,
like abdomen, like wherever that is for you.
So if you can relate it to that, you might be able to help yourself out.
I'm just like, what right now, even as we're talking, I'm like trying to figure out where I can nap today because my body is crying for, like, I'm a big morning nap person. And because I haven't had coffee yet, because I'm staying at this Airbnb that just has a coffee maker, but it doesn't, I forgot to get almond milk and I just don't want black coffee. I should just do it. But maybe when I bring in Andrew, I will. I am just, my brain is trying to figure out when I can get a nap in. So I'm like, okay, the people with cameras that follow me around, they're coming to here in like a half hour. Then we're supposed to start, like, I'm just like, where can I get, maybe they can film me sleeping. I'm like, maybe we'll do a scene where I nap. That's when I start negotiating. I'm just like, where am I going to get it? This is why I don't have kids, because I will be a nappy mom. Like, I will be, and I just get so scared that they're going to be like, mom's depressed. Cause like, I just want to nap sometimes. I want, my best naps are when I have an hour and 15 minutes. That's like a good nap. It'll take me like 5 minutes to get to sleep. And then that's a good 1-10 hour nap. I haven't gotten to the part of the podcast where it talks about napping and like how, and what's the best way to do it and stuff. But I do know that once you are in that deep sleep, waking up out of that can be torturous. So the best naps are 20 minutes. That's like what's been proven. Do you nap, Noah?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes we'll do like a family cat nap because Buzzy, my cat, he always has like a certain time of day from like 2 to 5:30. He's like the sleepiest guy. And it's just so much fun to just take a nap with him.
So that's we'll so cute. Cat nap. Oh my God. I want one today so bad. I don't know that I'm going to get it.
A cat nap or a cat?
A cat nap. Like the idea of having a cat, I'm like, that's just too much work. Like it's moments like these that I'm so tired and overworked that I'm like, no kids, no dogs, no more pets, no more responsibilities, no more jobs, no more things. I've lost a lot of sleep when I'm going to bed recently because I've been like binging Taylor Swift stuff. Because it's a very important time right now in a Swiftie's life.
Yes.
The re-release of Red came out, and I haven't put out a podcast since that's happened.
Andrew has a news story about it that I cannot wait to get your take on.
The White House thing?
Nope.
Oh, I'm going to try to guess. I won't try to guess. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal stuff. Is it the scarf that they've located it?
Close. You're getting warmer.
That Dionne Warwick said that Jake Gyllenhaal should give it back. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, like, she is all over the news right now. I mean, I am so into this. Her SNL performance. Did you see it, Noah?
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. And I'm sure that anyone that's not a huge fan is like, boy, this was long. But to me, it was like a perfect, I could have gone longer. And she's just so cool. And she was just so, I just keep watching it. There are just moments that I just can't get over of her looking into the camera. And just, she seems so angry and so, it's just like, you know, I don't want to say angry, but yeah, there's moments where you can tell she's still in it. I just wonder like how her ex or how her boyfriend is handling her revisiting all these feelings about an ex, because I feel like, oh, it feels very raw to me how the feeling she's accessing. And of course she's like a performer, so she's not like mad at SNL about Jake Gyllenhaal. I doubt that that's like she's actually mad, but she was able to summon the same kind of like spite that she still has for him in that song. And the new lyrics are so good, the new verses. I just didn't know what to expect from my favorite song, All Too Well, having, you know, five new verses in it, like what would that would feel like. But it feels like a whole other song to me. And I performed All Too Well at a charity, not like a fundraiser for the Wisconsin Democrats the other night that Ben Glebe, my friend, put on in his house, and it was broadcast. And I didn't feel like doing comedy, and I just wanted to sing Taylor Swift. And I had just really, like, it was on Sunday, so it was just after that SNL performance that I could not stop watching. And it was so fun to perform. And the thing I do when I perform, though, is I start to increase the tempo so fast because I'm so worried everyone hates what I'm doing, so I just want to get it done quick. Because also that song is super long. I didn't do the 10-minute version one. I just did the 5-minute version one. But I probably made it 2.5 minutes because I was so aware that everyone hates me. And I think that's why I talk fast on stage and in life, is because I know I'm so scared of how boring I might be that I don't want people to have to suffer that long. It's all a defense mechanism. Like everything I do, I realize is, because yesterday someone was asking me like, why do you wait till the last second to pick out an outfit for the stage? Why do you wait till the last second before you pack? And it's because I don't want to, when I'm, if I have free time that's filled with nothing, I'll want to be unconscious for it. Like when I have free time, I'm in bed and trying to be unconscious, because if I'm just awake, then I feel guilty that I'm not working on something I should be. There's never free time that's like, I don't feel guilty, except in the air. When I'm flying, for some reason, I can just read a book and stuff. It feels like, oh, I don't need to get things done. Even though yesterday or the other day, two days ago, I was flying from New York to LA, and there was a girl next to me on the flight, and she was dressed so cute, and she had so much hair, and she was like on her laptop the entire time, like writing. And I was just like so jealous and like so annoyed, and I'm just listening to my white noise that's like and I have I'm using a tank top as a sleep mask. I look insane. I'm curled up in a ball, and she's just like casually typing away, sipping on her seltzer, and I'm just like farting and using a scarf as a blanket, and like I have my shoes off, and I'm putting up I put a Dasani bottle between my toes because my bunions were hurting, and I needed, like, I was a nightmare. And this girl was just like tick tick tick, Sarah Jessica Parker, you know, Sex in the City, on her laptop writing a story. And I was so, and she kept, every time I woke up I would look over and she was still typing. It was like, we get it. You have your life together, bitch. Let's bring Andrew in here. Andrew!
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, Andrew.
So I'm literally out of breath from a computer.
Yeah. A lot of technical issues.
Like, literally, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Yeah. We don't have to get into the specifics of C++. You know how I do when I start talking about computers.
Yeah. I mean, you are wearing, I bet it's 73 degrees in that apartment, and you are wearing a sweater and an undershirt and pants. And drinking a hot coffee. Could that be why you're sweating too?
I mean, there's a combination of things, but I think it's more the microchips inside the radiator in there.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Of the computer.
Do you keep it? Is it a little bit hotter in that apartment Like, is it nice to...
While you're gone?
Yeah.
Well, I keep it at 70.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been chilly here, so, you know, there's that game of... Should I even use the
yes.
AC or should I use real life, you know?
Real life.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, we keep it around 70.
I was like, I was listening to that podcast about sleep, and it says that at night to have good sleep, you need to be cold. Like your body temperature needs to be cold at night. And then, you know, a lot of people use lights in the morning to like wake them up. Like they have those alarm clocks that like the light turns brighter and then you're supposed to wake up like it's the sun. But they found that people that don't use alarm clocks that live and sleep outside, you know, like indigenous peoples of the, you know, people that live outside still, they've studied them and they sleep past when the sun comes up. It has nothing to do with the sun. It's with the, when it gets warm. And so warmth wakes you up. So you're supposed to, coldness puts you to sleep and warmth wakes you up. So
that makes sense.
I'm right.
I mean,
to have it cold at night. Yes.
Well, I mean, I would,
yes!
I agree with you. I look, I give you the win. However, there's been advancements where we could keep it warm and we don't even have to wake up because the saber-toothed tiger isn't trying to eat us when it gets warm out.
Yeah, but our bodies are still, our bodies like, still are reacting to the ways that we were, you know, meant to be. But it was interesting to hear that, like, it has, because everyone always thinks it has something to do with, like, the sun, but it, or the light, which it doesn't. It's just the warmth of the
or
light.
Or the fucking rooster, the rooster that crows. Everyone's like, that's what time you wake up to get the farm going, whatever the rooster wants. It's like, fuck you, rooster. You're not in charge of me.
Yeah. Are you calmed down? You're mad at birds this morning.
Yeah, I'm better now. I'm still sweaty. I'm still sweaty.
How's it going? How have you been?
I'm good, man. Things are great. Brenna's here. She's been here the last couple days.
Nice.
We've had a really, really good time. Like, just chilling. Just fun time. Went and looked at different places. And we, I don't know. Just, like, went out to
dinner. What
does that
mean, looked at different places? It means apartments.
We're looking at different apartments. But very close by, I'm going to be able to still throw rocks at Nikki. is that how the phrase is?
Yeah.
You're a rock throw away.
A
You're a gunshot away.
Yeah, point blank range. That's cool. Did you check out places in the same building?
I did, but I think we're going to... that's too close of a rock, I think. I think Clayton, we really like.
Yeah.
And DeMun. It's hard to decide whether you want like a nice rustic place with more room, but you might have trouble with hot water or you might have, you know, just like... little things as opposed to like a building like we're in currently. But there are a couple buildings in Clayton where like, you know, it's like the new age. Like it feels like a swanky hotel because it was at one point.
Did you go to the Orion?
No, there's a place called the 212 and Clayton on the Park.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's fancy smancy, but it's, you know, it's not that expensive. And I don't know. I like Clayton a lot. It's a little bit more relaxed even than Central West.
I like how
you
said Clay. You don't say Clayton. Clayton.
Like when you live in Clayton, it just rolls off the tongue down there.
Have you been playing
3
golf?
3 miles away. I did. I hit some balls. I think I'm going to go play today. I think she might ride in the cart. I always get worried that she won't be entertained enough to just ride in. Would you want to ride in a cart while a guy plays golf? Or?
I can always be on my phone.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah,
and you're outside.
But also, like, can't she just be she could probably entertain herself alone and as town she used to live in. Like, I understand you want to spend time together, but, like, that's what I always, like, kind of butt up against when I'm on vacation with people. It's like, or, like, seeing someone that you haven't seen in a while or visiting someone, like you have to spend every waking second with them just because it's like, I still require alone time even when I have a 3-day like visit with someone. I feel like now as an adult, I'm entitled to be like, it's okay that I want to go spend some alone time, even though I see this person once a year and this is the only time we get to spend together. You know what I mean? But I think it's hard sometimes to
that. It is, and I think it'd be fun. We did that yesterday. She did it. She had a job interview, and I went and hit golf balls again. So I got some alone time.
Yes, but like, and she really got one with a new employer.
That's true.
She couldn't bring you to that really job interview?
I think I would have ruined it. It's for like a spa facial place, and they'd probably look at my pores and be like, if you can't handle your own house, you're not going to be able to handle
I have so many blackheads.
Which one? Esthetician?
Come on, try it.
Esthetician.
Good job.
Esthetician.
Was
that right?
Yeah.
Esthetician.
Yeah, there you go.
I couldn't spell it.
You have so many blackheads?
I don't know. My skin, I don't really focus on it. You know, it's not one
Seems
of my
like you are focusing on it. I've never noticed you having blackheads. Who gets that close up to you except your lover? You know, like, who gets that close that they would see your blackheads? I guess Luigi, yeah, does. I don't know. I just never see people's pores unless they're, like, really gapers.
Yeah, yeah. And do you like popping video? No, you just like warts. You don't like
pops. I don't like wet pops. No, I don't. I'm not one of those girls that wants to, like, pop boyfriends' pimples, but I know there's lots of girls out there that like to do that. I wish I were, because pimples are so much more prevalent than warts, but and they're like, that's almost acceptable now to be like, oh, it's cute when you pick at each other's skin, but like, you know, when you dig into your boyfriend's, like, I would love a boyfriend with planner's warts, but it's hard to find a good man with a virus taking over his foot.
You like a dry wart, like I like a dry jerk. You know? It's very, very similar.
I don't even like videos of warts where it starts to like bleed, even though that's when you know you got you're down to the part where you can start treating it. Man, I still even think about the one that was on your finger. Sometimes I look at your thumb and I'm like, God damn it, can I will it back just so I can pick at it? I wanted to get into that thing so bad. I just never saw one so like blatantly. Like, I used to have one on my thumb too, and I miss it so much. Sometimes I'm just like, please come back. I used to like wrap. So it was right here on my thumb, like on the edge of my thumb. And I used to, I wanted to torture it. So I used to wrap my hair thing, like, you know, the little black hair thing that you used to type your hair. I used to wrap it around it so tight that it would like cut off its circulation. It would like torture it. Like, I don't know why I want to torture things.
You treat your own finger like it's in Guantanamo.
Yes.
It was threatening to bomb a building.
Shark over and over for hours and hours.
Take me off your thumb. Take me, man.
I'll tell you everything, man. I'll tell you everything.
I'll tell you. It wasn't my fault, man.
I just want to like cut into it and like. Like, cursive was the same way. We used to torture bug bites by making X's in them with our thumbnail and, like, just making it suffer. She was put a curling iron on her bug bite, which is, that's next level. But I do have some, like, I don't know if anyone else gets this, but, like, I'm starting to get, like, skin cracks along my fingers, and I'm getting some pretty good hangnails that I want to pour, like, hot glue in and then rip it out.
Oh. Why is it so satisfying?
It's so satisfying.
While it hurts so bad.
Yes. Do you have any videos that you watch on TikTok that you're like, oh, satisfying?
Yeah. I mean, I love a chiropractor just getting down on someone's spine, breaking their neck.
Ooh, I don't like those sounds. I don't like those videos.
I mean, just once I want the person to die and just be like, then I'd probably get over the video. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
just one crack and be like, whoops.
I can't believe.
Was that the S8 instead of the V4 or whatever?
They crack things so hard. I can't believe. The human body can take so much.
They do one where they tie a thing around the neck and they pull your whole, like, your head off. And they're like, yeah, you feel better. And everyone's like, I haven't felt that relief in 48 years.
And then,
oh, my God.
It like, if these guys were really miracle workers, we would hear about it a lot more than we do. I don't believe that it actually does anything. In the moment, I think it's almost like they're like those guys, those priests that are like shake people and are like, Jesus compels you to stand. And then the person's like, ah! And then I'm sure they walk out and they hurt again. It's like adrenaline can make pain go away. Like when I am on stage, my bunions are, my feet hurt so bad in those shoes as soon as I walk off stage, but I don't feel it at all when I'm on stage. I'm on stage for an hour and a half and I don't feel any foot pain. And then the second I walk off stage, it goes away.
You think if you're in a wheelchair, your legs haven't worked for 30 years, those people are actors.
Those people are actors.
I know.
But yes, I think that if HBO could cure so many people's disabilities by just granting them the ability to walk on stage and film a special.
Actually, they would take the special away 5 minutes in because they gave it to them because they were handicapped.
Oh, my God. That's
They'd
hilarious.
Be like, you know what? I didn't realize your opener was you walking.
We kind of only wanted you to have this when we thought you were.
It's like the cancer guy on Ellen. Remember? He had like stage 15 cancer.
Yeah, I think that's what you were referencing. He was a comedian that like didn't really have cancer. Did he fake it?
Or he had like a minor cancer and he like made it seem like major cancer.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I guess there's no minor cancer, but you know, he definitely said he had like 8 months to live and then he just kept living.
Oh my God. Yeah, I mean, that's tricky because you don't want anyone to die, but when you think they are supposed to go and they keep going, you're like, this isn't what the plan was. It is interesting when people go like, you know, he has terminal, whatever, like he's gonna die someday. And it's like, so is everyone. Like, aren't we all terminal?
I mean, we are. I mean, some of us have a longer terminal, but yeah, I'm terminal right now.
But you don't know. You could be walking across the street today and get hit by something that takes you out quicker than someone who has a terminal thing. Not that I'm like...
Especially at a bus terminal.
Yes. Good wordplay on that. That is true.
Hey, you know what's happening here.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God. Good to hear you, Mom. What did we get into this weekend? We were in Columbus. We were in Long Island. You put up... I wanted to ask you about that Long Island clip. Why did I see that reposted this morning? Is it because the captions butchered what you were saying?
I mean, the captions, yeah. It butchered it, and then I have no idea. I don't want to go and write it in myself. I don't even care.
But didn't you watch it to see that the caption didn't fit?
Yeah.
But I'm confused. You did watch and you were like, it doesn't matter. Because people are going to watch that without sound and be very confused. Don't you realize that people watch things without sound? And that's what captions are for?
Yeah, you know,
I just want to know, did you know when you posted that clip last night that the captions were wrong, or did you not watch it fully?
No, when I posted it last night, I saw it that the captions. I didn't know you could change the words in Reels in Instagram.
Right,
I
didn't but know. Did you know that the captions were wrong when you posted it? Or
yes,
did you just like
because
not
I figured
watch it
I figured it's close enough, whatever. And then I was like, wait, why am I? Why?
It was so bad. It was so off.
I know. Like, it spelled Guantanamo.
Joke, how bad. It said Guantanamo. You said Guantanamo and it said Guantum. Or it said iguana or something.
Yeah, which is pretty funny. You treat this like iguana? That's pretty funny.
I was like so angry about it because I'm like, this is a funny bit and no one's going to hear it because you're going to read the captions and go, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
So then I reposted it today and I thought I fixed the captions. And then it just did the start of the captions, then stopped captioning, and then started again at the end. I don't know. It's a good bit. Richard Pryor didn't have captions. I don't need captions.
You don't need captions.
I should have just took the captions completely off, to be honest.
You could also just pay someone $20 to put captions on it for you, or do it yourself. It doesn't take that long.
I know. Well, I was going to make it longer. It was going to be a 2-minute bit, and that would have been a lot of captions, but whatever. You know what? The lesson here is...
Don't trust the computer to caption for you when you already don't speak, you know, with that much dictation. You know, like you're already.
Yes.
And it was like the sound isn't great on it. It's so funny that you trusted the computer to caption it for you. You're like, this is good enough. That is the difference between you and me, man. Were you not getting enough likes on it, or were people making fun of the captions? That's my question. Like,
People liked it. I honestly just posted it at like 1 a.m. So there was a couple things. One, the captions were horrendous. And two, I didn't want to. I know my brain. I would have stayed up till 5 a.m. to see if people liked it, even though they're all sleeping because it's cold in their room and everything's great for them or whatever. So that would have fucked with me. So I just took it down. I was like, I'll just do it tomorrow. And then I did it the next day and did it wrong again. But I still stand by. It's a fun bit. It's very
fun. Really funny. It's really funny. Are you going to be able to work it into your regular stand-up and not do it when you're not in Long Island?
I don't know. What do you think? I think I could do like a, you know, I was just in L.A. I think I could be like, wow, it's very relaxed here. I was just in Long Island and then I could go. But it just feels right with a Long Island crowd to
but
just make fun of them.
Aren't you scared that people in L.A. this weekend are going to have seen that bit on your social?
No.
And then they're going to hear you do it again and be like, we just saw this.
No.
Why?
I don't worry about that at all.
But why?
Because first of all, I would say tops 2% of people saw it. Tops, I think.
But okay, let's say you were doing your own show in LA and it was you would probably still do that bit. And I would say at that point, most of the people, because if they follow you on Instagram, they're probably going to go see you perform. So
you still wouldn't care.
Yeah, but why? I want to understand why. Because I'm obsessed with, like, you know, in Chicago, there was a guy that was at the meet and greet after the first show, and he was like, I'm going to the second show. And I go, okay, well, I have to do all new material for the second show because I don't want him to have to, you know, I didn't do all, but I probably did like 70% new material because this one guy.
I mean, that's wild. That's wild, too. You know that.
No, but that's wild because I'm doing, like, I just don't understand how you can do material that you think that other people have seen.
It's my material.
I know, but like it.
I saw Mitch Hedberg do 40 jokes that I've known almost by heart at that time, and I fucking loved every second of it. Now it's annoying when someone goes stairs are like they say his punchline for him. Fuck that. But like,
I guess it's like I just look at new jokes as working hard, and I don't want someone to think I'm lazy. And I'm obsessed with that. It's like, I don't want people to be like, I already heard this, and then want their money back.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, look, if that's the kind of person you are, don't come to my show.
Yeah.
Your boy's lazy.
I wish I could have
that. But I'm very funny. But I'm just like, look, I don't, because it's my, if it was like a joke from a special like 7 years ago, then I'd be like, okay, maybe it's time to change it up. But if I did it 5 days ago and I put it on the like Instagram and then
see,
you
I'm
come
different.
Up and you're
if
like,
I do it 7 years ago, I would bring it back because it's been so long that I don't remember. I don't remember anything from 7 years ago, let alone a joke of a comedian I like. So I would be more willing to bring that back than something
so maybe
I posted
2 years ago,
the day before.
2 years.
But I would never post. That's why I don't post anything on Instagram, is because I don't want people to see it and then come to my show and go, we already know this.
Oh, I was thinking
that's why
more,
I don't
you
wear
don't do
the same outfits again, because I don't want people. Everything has to be new, because I know psychologically that novelty equals people like novelty. People don't like things they've already seen. Like when you look at porn, you don't go to old porn videos you've seen. You go to new things. Like men like novelty. New equals shiny, and like people like it. People don't like the same when it comes to entertainment. Except
yeah, but
movies,
I
want
to. I don't know if your outfit. I don't know if your outfit. I don't know. I mean, it's different with guys because you know, like someone like George Carlin could wear a black T-shirt and jeans every single special, and no one would give a shit as long as the material's
right.
New.
Yes.
I literally wear this. I'm wearing the same bomber jacket literally 5 shows in a
row.
It's
so much easier to be you than it is me. And I'm jealous. I got to learn how to be easier.
No, but dude, there's things that I'm jealous of you. I mean, look, I look at it like, okay, like take someone like Michael Che, right? Like he doesn't put any material. He would never put a joke up. Well, the reason why is one, he gets to tell jokes every Saturday, and he has a special where all his jokes will be seen by millions of people. If I had a special coming up, and the person was like, hey, maybe don't put up your Long Island trunk.
No one says person, it's you. You would still put it up if it's up to you. That's the difference. No one's telling me and Michael not to put up jokes. We are.
No, but you do have, okay, agreed. But if you told, so take the people telling me. If I had a special that was going to be filmed in a month, I wouldn't put my jokes up. I'd wait for the special to record.
Yeah, but probably. I don't even put up jokes from specials I've already taped.
Well, that's a whole nother thing.
What is wrong with me? I want to just let go and be able to just trust that Instagram will caption my video. Like, the difference between me and you is so vast, and I want to be more. I want to meet in the middle a little bit more, because I think that I would get more done if I just relaxed a little bit and didn't I really almost lost my mind this weekend when it came to packing and stuff, and like the difference and just resenting men and how they don't have to pack fucking anything, and they don't have to worry about, and everyone's always like, why do you check bags? I don't know, because I have fucking so many liquids to bring, and men don't have any liquids. So many liquids to keep.
And well, then you have liquids, you have shoes.
Use travel size. It's like, well, I'm going to be gone 2 weeks. I use so much conditioner, and the conditioner I use is $30, and so I don't want to bring, I can't buy it on the road. It's just like, whatever. I'm just creating a reason to complain. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh boy, it's Tuesday. You know what that means? It's Tuesday. I do apologize for not having a show yesterday, but we both got hit by cars separately. Which
I already told them what
bad.
Happened. Oh, don't lie
okay,
to them.
Damn it.
We weren't terminal yesterday.
Bus terminal. Okay. Hope you're having all the swells out there. It's going to be a great week. And we're going to be in L.A. this weekend in San Diego, so that should be fun. All right. People are joking about Jake Gyllenhaal handing the baton over to John Mayer after Taylor Swift dropped the All Too Well short film. Fans think Dear John is next. Thoughts?
Dear John is next. Speak Now, it's just her third album, is the next one she's going to re-record based on, the hints she dropped in the All Too Well short film video. That's what Swifties are thinking. And on Speak Now is Dear John, which is the scathing song about John Mayer, in which she says, let me just look up some of the lyrics, because I can never summon them from my own. I don't understand
question?
Passing the baton. Like, did he literally write something? He hasn't addressed, Jake hasn't addressed anything yet.
I mean, he's so big of a star. Again, it goes back to, like, he doesn't need to address this. Now, if he was trying to get more followers or more, like, he would troll back. But he's going to be in another movie where he's going to make $20 million and people are going to stop talking about once they start talking about John Mayer. Like, also, he already went through it. You know?
Man, he is going through it again. The new Swifties are taking over his accounts. Like, he's feeling it right now. Like, it's a little
much.
Do
you think he should? I don't think this is right. I don't think it's right to bully a guy for something that happened 10 years ago. And he didn't
do anything
that egregious
to
her. Like,
Taylor's, what do you mean? You don't know that. You have no idea what he did to her. And I also don't feel like we should punish anyone for literally anything, because I don't believe people can choose the way they act. But Taylor has a right to still have feelings about it and release new material about it. And she has every right.
But
do Swifties have a right to get all in his stuff and bully him and like harass him? No, I don't believe that. But that's just, she can't control them. She's not like sicking them on him. She's just still pissed off at him. Or she, she's re-releasing her feelings that she had back then, and she's entitled to write a song about a guy that hurt her 10 years ago. She has every right to. Tell me why she doesn't.
You don't think that she has any control over her fans in the regards of going, hey, maybe let's not harass. It was a bad breakup. It was sad. I lost a scarf. But let's not harass the guy 10 years later.
I think she's already said something like that to them like the people I write songs about. It's she's put out a statement like that. You can't control, like, This isn't like Travis Scott crowd control. She's not like, do whatever you can to get him back. Like, she's not saying that. She's writing a song where she expresses her feelings and people like treat her like, you know, she's their daughter and they're like, you know, mad and they want to defend her and they're kind of crazy. And, but yes, I do believe that like he's, you know, as someone who has had, and everyone's going, it was only 3 months long. What are you so upset about? Like, stop that. Stop that. Because I've been in things that were 3 weeks long that will stay with me for a lifetime. And it's not because I didn't get over the person or because I didn't meet someone else that I love more than that person. Or it's like sometimes things get unresolved and you still have feelings about it. And like, I have been hurt by guys before in the same way that Taylor Swift was, based on everything I can glean from All Too Well, which is why I fucking love it so much. The new lyric, you were tossing me the car keys, fuck the patriarchy, keychain on the ground, you were always skipping town. And then this part, she goes, and we were, and I was thinking on the drive down, anytime now, he's gonna say it's love. He never called it what it was. Oh my God, waiting for a guy to say I love you, which is a separate issue, and then a guy never calling it what it was, being like, we never dated. What are you talking about? We were like hanging out. It's like, shut up. Like, don't tell me. Like, I've been her before. And
I get it. I get all those things. I have no problem with like her writing lyrics and being emotional and being upset. I just hate the harassment. I'm mad at the fans, and look, come after me. It might help my, you know, if any of you know how to do captions,
your brand.
I could really use the help. that'd be nice of you. But no,
did
but
you
like,
watch
I
her
just,
SNL performance, yeah. And what did you think of it?
I thought it was great. I think Taylor Swift's fantastic. Like, I don't have anything.
Your voice
negative.
Doesn't need to reach a new octave. I was just asking you for an actual. It wasn't a defensive thing of like, I thought it was great. Like, I'm asking, like, what did you think of it?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I thought it felt like its own little movie on top of them. It was like a fan. It was like one of your reaction videos to her own video about herself. I don't know. It was like one and the same. It was and it was interesting. It changed. Like, it felt like a story was being told. Like, I mean, she's an incredible storyteller, and I don't know. It just felt like it had like six different parts.
It's like the best time of my life with this new re-release. There's all these songs from The Vault, which is like all the songs she wrote for this album that weren't released. The new song that get put out yesterday, the music video for it came out yesterday is what I meant to say. Blake Lively directed it. It's called I Bet You Think About Me. And Chris Stapleton is on it. It is so good. At the very end. Oh, and by the way, let's revisit the Dear John lyrics that are just, I mean, she wrote this when she was 19, and she said, you're an expert at sorry and keeping lines blurry, never impressed by me acing your tests. All the girls that you've run dry have tired, lifeless eyes because you burn them out. Oh,
Jesus.
Ooh.
And she goes, I see it all now that you're gone. Don't you think I was, she goes, Dear John, I see it all now that you're gone. Don't you think I was too young to be messed with? The girl in the dress wrote you a song. You should have known. You should have known. Don't you think I was too young? You should have known. Oh, she's so much more like to be 19 and to tell someone, don't you think I was too young? And then with the Jake Gyllenhaal thing saying like so in the short film, or I guess in the song, she says, like, he says she's too young, and that's why they broke up, which is another thing that really bothers me that guys do when they break up with you, is they don't tell you the real reason. They just pick one that, like, you can't argue against. They'll use something against you for breaking up with, and girls do this too. This isn't just a guy issue, but, like, they'll say, you know, like, we have to break up, like, it's just if you were older, it would work. Like, they make a thing that you can't change, so that there's no arguing of like, but I'll get older for you. Like, there's nothing you can say. That's you're put into a place where you have no, and they think they're doing you a favor by picking something that is not your fault, I guess. And then, but then she goes on, because I remember I heard that lyric and I didn't know where it was going. And then at the end, she's like, she calls bullshit because she goes, you know, you always thought my jokes were corny. She says, like, the joke goes, I'm not good at telling jokes, but it goes, you know, I stay the same age, and or like, no, I get older, you get older, and all your girlfriends stay my age. So it's like he the whole thing of you're too young wasn't even true. I remember when a guy said that we couldn't be together. Yes. But it,
I get older,
like,
they stay the same age. Remember that?
I mean, she even says it's how the joke goes. So she's referencing that it's not like something she came up with.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no, I think, yeah, that's tough because if you can't, it's like you'd rather be told like, oh, actually, no, it was your bad, or not even your bad, something you could control, something you could actually change. Because then you could be better for the next person if you could have, or
it's just
whatever.
Dishonest. Everyone's a liar, and it hurts to break up with people. I remember one guy told me it's because I didn't want kids, and he wanted kids, and he thought that was like, yes. But it was really because he was talking to someone else at the time, and he was interested in someone else and didn't like me because I had sex with him, and he didn't like people that liked him back. Like, it was about that, but instead he was like, it's because you don't want kids, and I do. And I remember going, actually, I don't know that I've ever said that. He's like, yes, you did. You did a joke about it. You said that. And I'm like, oh, that was a joke. And he's like, well, and I was like, I'd be down to have kids. He's like, okay. And then he goes, and I go, I probably want to adopt. I don't want to have my own. He's like, oh, yeah, I want my own. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, man,
yeah.
And I'm like, just he's scrounging for anything. He was just like, oh, man, if you wanted your own. We could be together. I'm just like, you would. It's because you're literally actively texting another girl right now. Don't act like this is about me not wanting kids. And I'm some like, you know, I'm just. And then that makes you feel when you're a woman that doesn't want kids and a guy has that reasoning. It makes sense if that's the actual reasoning. But if it doesn't, it just is like it's more rhetoric to make you feel like a bad woman that you don't want kids. Like you're not complete.
You could have shown him by having a kid as soon as possible. You know, like you just go down to the sperm bank. You're like, I'll show you. No, there's just something so funny about getting back at someone. Be like, actually, I'll show you by having 7 kids.
And the guy's like,
yeah, okay. I don't want you now that you have 7 kids. Yeah.
Girls do that. Like I always say in my act that like when I tell girls don't sleep with guys before you get what you want in a relationship, they're like, you know, I like having sex with them. Like and it's like, well, if you want him to be your boyfriend, it's going to be a lot harder. If you have sex with them, it's just going to be a lot harder. And they're like, okay, well, but I'll just have sex with other people. It's fine. And it's like, okay, what you'll do is, and every girl has done this at some point, is you think you're going to make the guy that you really like jealous by like making out with someone, and then you accidentally tell them, or you try to make them jealous, and guys don't respond to that by being like, wait, I want you back. Like, they go, okay, you're done. Like, we're done.
Yeah.
You disgust me. And now the girl's like, but I only did it to get you back. It's like, the thing you do to get them back makes them go, ugh.
But we were talking, like me and Emil were talking. I don't think he'll mind me mentioning his name. We were talking about how when you start as sex buddies, you know what I mean? Like the girl's like, hey, we'll have sex. I'll take off at 1 a.m. And it's about like, it's not for a guy sometimes, like sex is like almost secondary to like, oh, wait, now like you could have sex with someone and hold back almost the intimacy and the guy might be very intrigued. And that does happen to like, that happened to both of us where we're like, oh, she just wants me for my sex.
You
like,
guys are feminine energy men. You're feminine.
There's
energy
a lot of
men.
Us out there.
It's only about 10% of men that are feminine energy.
It's probably going
men.
Up all the time because of computers and people being in the middle.
Hormones and milk. But it's true. Dr. Pat Allen told me that male comics are feminine energy. And so it makes sense that you guys feel like more bonded after sex. I believe officially I'm a masculine energy woman, Noah. I believe it's just the case because I have been able to... I've been having sex recently with someone who's not my boyfriend. And after sex, I am very happy to just be like, bye.
But we're talking
and, like,
vaginal.
Move on with my day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
When I say sex, I mean sex.
That's a big change.
Congratulations. Yeah, I had a bestie. I hinted at it last week because I said I took the morning after pill, and I had a bestie this weekend come up to me and go, "Are you having vaginal sex?" And I was like, "Girl, you heard right." And
there's so many girls though, that just started just taking it in the pooper, and now they're like,
fuck, "No, I still do that." Oh my god, are you kidding me? It's still 90% of the. I have not one time had vaginal sex and not still done the other one because that's how much I love it. So just let it be known that, like, I do not like V more than A.
B. A, yes.
Okay, yeah. Wait, I have a question, though.
Yes, Noah.
The person you're having vaginal sex, though.
I think Noah's been frozen for a while.
Yeah, I can see her.
You too, me as well. Okay.
It's fine.
But still, yeah, if her voice comes up, then just you tell me what her question is.
Okay, what's your question, Noah?
My question is, the person that you're having vaginal sex mm-hmm. with, it's not just like a random hookup. Like it's not a one night stand.
Yes. Noah says the difference is it's not a one night stand. It's something that's like regular. Yes, that's true, and it is someone that I like. I already feel like I'm not scared that they're going to like leave or abandon me or any of those things. What I will say, and what I said to the bestie this weekend that asked me, because I did feel like a traitor a little bit, like giving into V before I had the relationship that, you know, before I had a boyfriend. The thing is, I don't want this person to be my boyfriend yet. So I'm not holding out for like something that I want. I have a boundary up with, this person and any guy that would be my boyfriend, and my boundary is definitely like I would do this at any point with anyone that I'm having sex with. We've been hanging out for 3 months and have not had V, right? So that to me was a long wait. And I also, I'm the one that decided like my new boundary is like I need to know that this person's like, you know, working on themselves and like going to therapy, and that's another thing that's like, you don't get to be not that they want me to be their girlfriend either. We're on the same page, but like we both have things of like, I need to see something else before that. And to me, V isn't something that I'm doing every time. It's special occasions. But I will say that like afterwards, I don't feel the need to be like, oh, like hanging on. Like the other night I was like, I think my partner is more of a basker and being like, let's just lay like and talk about it because in the past with this person, he was more of a like, okay, we're done, let's go. And now it's more of, he's more of a basker and like wants to like connect mm-hmm. afterwards. And I'm more of a like, I want to go eat oatmeal on the couch and watch Love on the Spectrum. And like, he went to the bathroom like afterwards, and I like quickly got dressed and was like out on the couch, like with my foot massager. And he walked out kind of like, wow, you're over this. And I was just like, it's just like, it wasn't like I was like, I didn't enjoy it and didn't want to bask in it. But it's interesting, like as you get older, how those kind of roles can switch.
Well, then do you feel like, but the whole thing was about how the V makes you more connected because
you get addicted.
You get addicted, and then because you think of procreation because they're inside you. Like, like so much more feelings happen. Like that was your hypothesis beforehand. So now your conclusion.
And for me, no, but it is true. But I already have the thing is, you're not supposed to have V until you get what you want out of the relationship. And I have what I want out of that relationship.
Okay.
It is exactly the way I want it to be. And so that's why I was like, I'm not like trying to get him to commit to me in any way that he's not. Like I'm getting everything I want. And like we are the status exactly what I want to be. So what am I dangling at this point? And, so that, but I'm really glad I did it. And I told this to the bestie, is that it allowed me to, like, I think that's why we're able to be so loving now, is because I waited. And like, it really did create intimacy between us that wouldn't have been there if we were having sex from the get-go. I really think that like leaving something off the table that led us to like yearn for each other in this way that we weren't allowed to was so hot. And I definitely think I will in my relationship go through periods where I'm like, no, we're cutting it off so that we miss it again and that we get to be kind of sexually frustrated in a way that makes us like, you know, high schoolers that can't hook up because we can't, you know, like Mormons are like, oh, like, I don't know what it was about not being able to have sex, just having that thing like that we both wanted so bad. It was like, it made us like more crazy for each other. So I think I'll take it away at some point again. Not for me, but for us.
Hmm. There's no yeah. part of you though, okay. that like, if, oh, go ahead. Sorry. I can't hear. No.
No, no, no. There's no part of me. What?
That like, I don't know. Like part of me thinks like you do want the boyfriend though. Like, I don't know. I mean, look, that's no. like here. Yeah.
No, I really don't. I mean, I do if he does a bunch of other stuff and like I feel good yeah. about it, but it has nothing to do with I have exactly what I want right now in this relationship. I really do. And I'm shocked you're even questioning that.
Huh?
I'm shocked you're even questioning that.
I don't
that
know.
I
just feel
more.
Like I just feel like sometimes like I don't for me, right? Like, okay, let's just say it was me and your position, or like if I was in that position, I'd feel like it's almost like a defense mechanism to go, hey, this is exactly what I want because I'm not getting the other thing that I could potentially want. So it like almost protects
you. Oh, like
I'm
settling, like, oh no, I want this. No, my yeah. God. I'm not yeah. kidding you, dude. If he asked me to be his girlfriend today, I would say no. I would say yeah. no. And it's not because I don't want to be someday and I think he's potential. I just am not going to settle for anything except like exactly what I want in a relationship. And that doesn't mean that I'm miserable because he doesn't. I don't even want a boyfriend. I'm yeah. fine with the way things are. I really like, I don't need more. I want more someday, but I don't want it right now. It's if gotcha. That makes sense. Like I'm not, it's like a meal that I'm not hungry for right now. If like that makes sense. Let's take a break and come back with Why Do I Care?
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy, because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things, and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself, and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start, because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire, and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NikkiGlaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/NikkiGlaser.
Why do I care?
Why do I care?
I think I'm going to throw up. A woman loses it when she realizes she has been brought on stage at Adele's comeback concert by her boyfriend for a surprise proposal. She said yes and is serenaded by
the
singer.
Yeah, I watched this. How do we feel about this?
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, I mean, I was confused why when she took off the blindfold, she was just like saying his name over and over, and she wasn't like, what the hell is this? At one point she says, who are all these people? But I think she should have been saying that from like the get. So I don't know what, and I don't know what precipitated. Everyone in Reddit was like, Adele is so amazing to do this. I'm like, Adele didn't do it. Adele didn't do it, you guys. Adele, it was not Adele's idea. Can I scream this at you? When you see a bachelor take a woman on a date on The Bachelorette where there's a helicopter and there's candles and they walk out and some artist you've never heard of is singing a country song that they both act like everyone should know this guy.
He didn't plan it. The producers did. Adele didn't plan that. Adele didn't plan it. Okay.
Like, there's a lot of paperwork too.
Yeah. It's beautiful for her. It's
wasn't
a great.
Like Adele was like, I want you to find a nice couple and then I'm going to serenade them with her favorite song. Like she was down to do it, but it wasn't like she's some like, you know, like people are acting like she is like working at a soup kitchen on her birthday. Like this is not she. This she's like I was reading the Reddit comments and I had to get out of there because people are like, she is just the most amazing person to do this. This is so thoughtful of her. Stop it. Stop it. Everyone, will you please look at celebrity culture through a lens of everything they do is to make them look like good people. No one does anything. It's always producers' ideas. Everything. Everything is someone else's idea. You think Adele decided that and found that couple and found that girl who has been wanting him to propose forever and went out and bought the blindfold? Get out of town!
How annoying is it, too, when someone does a public proposal? Like, I hate it. I hate it. It puts too much pressure on the girl.
It.
Oh, I hate it. I think it's like, hey.
Oh, you know she's going to... You know she's going to say yes. I mean, sometimes an
maybe
idiot
she would have said no. Like, if you're at a fancy restaurant, do you put pressure
producers
on the
girl? Producers would not have organized this unless they fucking knew for sure. Like,
I wish she said no. I wish she said, fuck you. You don't want kids.
She starts going, send my love to your new lover. Treat her better. Like, Adele just sings a breakup song to him because they know she's going to say no. That would be cool.
Oh, it's the best when it's on a jumbotron and the guy gets on his knee and the girl goes, what, this is our third date and you didn't even buy the hot dog, you loser. I'm not
oh my god
you.
No, I've, you know, I never understand when guys are like, I'm nervous to propose. It's like, how do you know she's not like, of course you shouldn't be doing this if you think there's any doubt.
Yeah, your friends in the bushes taking pictures, you know what's gonna happen. You have a mariachi band that your dad's playing in. Like, stop it. Everyone knows.
I just get so annoyed when people think that celebrities are like these. Like, Adele probably would do that on her own time. Like, that probably is an idea that she'd come up with if she had any part in play. Like, I know the people that produce this, and I'm going to actually get an answer if Adele came up with this idea or not. Because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But I definitely don't think I am. And the celebrities that were at that thing, did you guys watch it? 9.9 million people watched this, by the way. I watched it. When I watched it, I was like, I feel like this is a little bit like the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like that many people are watching this right now. And I wasn't wrong. What is the Super Bowl? What kind of numbers does that get?
Probably around there, I bet. I couldn't really tell you. I think at times the Super Bowl's been like maybe 20 million, but
yeah, no, dude, it's 96 million for the Super Bowl. So 10% of the Super Bowl ain't bad. I mean, that's the best ratings that they could have ever wished for that thing. That's a ton of people watching.
Oh yeah, and then another 100 million will watch it on YouTube eventually, I'm sure.
I asked the guy I'm seeing the other night when Adele was on. I go, "Why don't I like her as much as I like Taylor Swift? She writes her own music. She sings about men who have hurt her. I want to be obsessed with her. I love Adele. I really do like a lot of her music, but it's not the same." And he goes, "Because Adele is for women and Taylor Swift is for girls that are stuck in high school." And I go, "You're not wrong." You're not wrong. Because, and that's not a slight against Taylor. I think Taylor is a better artist than Adele, and I'll fight anyone about it. But I do think that Taylor Swift's music is, I am stuck in high school. The most traumatic things in my life happened in high school. You kind of get stuck whenever that happens. And I'm a little bit high school-y. And that's why I like Adele. I haven't like matured enough to like her music in the same way. And let me just say, I'm probably an Adele fan the way most women are Adele fans. I just am a Taylor Swift fan the way no women are any kind of fan of anyone. Because I'm a fan the way I am, I'm a high schooler in terms of the way I'm a fan.
Probably middle school, to be honest.
You're probably
like,
right.
You like just got like the jacket with like one of the NSYNC kids on the back. Like that's where your level is at.
If you would go get a package for me at some point, I believe it's a sweater that says Taylor Swift on it that I bought from her her merch site, which her merch has a lot to be desired, but I got to still get it. Okay, let's get to the Reddit dump.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit dump. This is from Ask Reddit, the subreddit that has interesting questions. It says, "What is the worst smell that you've ever smelled in your life?" I love this question.
Oh, I know.
Can you know, Noah?
Well, I don't know if Andrew will be able to hear me, but the worst is I absolutely believe.
You gotta tell me what
I was coming home from Madison Square. I was coming home from Madison Square Garden after a Guns N' Roses concert, and the subway stunk so much, and there was a man at the end of the subway, and he was as stiff as a brick, and it smelled. It was like this, like chemical smell, and I think that I smelled death.
Yes. Okay, Andrew. Noah smelled death once on a subway ride coming back from a Guns N' Roses concert, and there was a man on the platform that was stiff as a board, and it was a chemically smelled, and she thinks she smelled death
in the subway car.
In the subway car. Oh, and you're probably right, Noah, because I remember the Casey Anthony story. I was watching it, and Casey Anthony's dad was a homicide detective. When he went to pick up the car that Casey Anthony had gotten towed that had her daughter in the trunk before she dumped her daughter, allegedly. Actually, she's proven innocent, but, you know. There, and he was they were walking, him and the mother were walking to pick up the car. And Casey Anthony had put a bunch of trash in the back of the trunk to mask the smell, because obviously she had driven around with her daughter in the trunk for like 3 days before she figured out what to do with her. And the stench was so bad that she put trash in there thinking it would like mask it, or like people would be like, "Oh, that's just the trash smell." But she's the her dad, the homicide detective, said that when they were walking over to the junkyard to pick, or like the you know, tow lot to get the car, they got within, you know, like they got within proximity of it, and he goes, "That smell is, once you smell it, you know the smell, and homicide detectives know." And he was like, "That's the smell of death." And he just started like sobbing, because they both knew that because that smell was coming from Casey's car, like their granddaughter was dead. And so it's like, once you smell that, you can never forget it.
I feel the same way.
What about you, Andrew?
Like an old Subway meatball sandwich could probably be similar. But yeah, I just like the idea of like, and then once you smell it, you know it. And it's just like,
you would never throw out a Subway meatball sandwich.
That's true. I put mayonnaise on it in college. YOLO.
You would never get rid of that. Yeah.
But I would get rid of a dead baby.
But a daughter. Sure. But yeah. Your daughter who's like holding you back from entering wet t-shirt contests.
Yeah. And filling in.
I mean, the Casey
better.
Anthony story is just seriously, she is such an idiot. That it's almost, there's nothing funny about it, but there are some things she does that are so insanely, like, just the dumbest person ever thinking they're covering up a crime and actually getting away with it. It's so wild.
I think the worst smell.
She just got lucky.
The worst smell I've ever smelled. I mean, that does remind me of thousands of times getting on the subway and realizing no one else is on that cart and just smelling something that you can't even describe, and everyone smells it, and everyone runs out of the. But
yes,
when I was on in Body Wars, I don't know if I told this story, but you know, a handicapped kid sat behind me when I was like 11, and he threw up all over my back during Body Wars, which is a ride at Disney World or whatever, Epcot, and I was like, man,
yeah,
this is. We were in the like in the liver section and of the body, and I was like, man, this is really good stuff. Like. Like, this, they're really nailing it. And the lights came on, and there was throw up all over me. And I just see the handicapped kid rubbing his face with puke all over him. And I had to buy a Goofy shirt for like $40. And I don't know. I just.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I remember walking by the. I swear to God, he looked at me like, yeah. Who's Goofy now, bitch? Like, because we were making fun of him because we were like 11. Ugh. Like, I could literally, like, he gave me a look like he. Like almost that it was on purpose, which I respect it. I do. Anyhow, what's your worst smell?
I can't even recall what my worst smell is, to be honest with you. Like, nothing really stands out to me as, like, the worst. But I guess it's probably has something to do with, I guess, poop, like, human feces. Like, smelling another person's human feces in New York, in your front doorstep. Like, that's just obviously a terrible smell.
In your own bed.
All of our stories are based
sex.
In New York.
But no, yeah, no, I think, like, I do think, like, you live in New York for 4 years. I'd say around the four-year mark, you can tell the difference between dog shit and human shit. Just based off a nose.
Say,
it's unbelievable.
This is gross, but I've been on some diets before that produce really bad gas. Like, really bad gas. All right. The people that shared stuff in Reddit pretty much said the same thing. They said the smell of, they're all people that work in hospitals and are police officers that have smelled death or like hoarders' apartments and things like that. The next, this is Ask Women. What is the worst thing someone has ever said to you during sex?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the answers are, a guy once shamed me for being too wet by saying my vagina was too gloopy. I put my clothes on and left and slugged out of there.
Why does gloopy feel like it could be one of the seven dwarves?
Gloopy. Gloopy is so funny.
It's a great word.
Someone said, can you just stop? The noises you are making are killing the mood. I was having a great time up until that point. Someone said, a guy said, I can't stay hard because you keep crying. I was crying because I didn't want to have sex. Woof.
Jesus. Oof. That's gloopy.
Someone said, if going to the gym isn't working, would you at least consider ass implants so your body would at least look somewhat proportional?
Oh.
Who the fuck uses the word proportional during sex? That would take me out of the mood.
Yeah, anything diagonal, long word with an AL.
What's the worst thing you've ever heard during sex? Either one of you. I'm trying to think of mine.
Shit. I'm trying to think. What has been like really bad?
I don't think I've ever heard it. One time, I mean, I have the story of when a guy was choking me once, and he didn't know what to say because he was new to like choking a woman, and I wanted it. And I have a joke in my head. It was imperfect, but he was kind of looking at me and I was kind of just like, say something. And he just didn't know what to say. So he just like conjured what he, like, you know, when you, in movies, maybe when you see someone choking someone, he just goes, I'm going to kill you. I was just like, no. And he instantly was like, is that not good? I was like, no, no, no. That's not going to be it.
Well, when I called Brenna vibrant, apparently that wasn't the best word of choice. But I thought
vivacious or vibrant? Vibrant is a color. That doesn't mean like vivacious can sometimes be like easy.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like kind of tongue in cheek, but yeah, I think it was more, I should just put my tongue in her cheek and shut the fuck up. But I'm trying to think what a girl said. I mean, maybe like, I can't honestly. I got nothing. I think once I'm fucking, you can say anything and nothing's really going to hurt me. I think.
Oh, this is, I want Brenna to try to say something weird to take you out of it. I'm wondering what could be, I'm sure, like, don't you, I guess you're on Viagra, so there's nothing that's going to make you not hard, but maybe something that might make you hard and angry.
Yeah, no, there's definitely been times I've lost my heart on where a girl's like, it's more, like, less what they say, more about, like, how the, like, not, per, it's like, there's no specific other than, like, why are you not staying hard?
You see an ankle hair?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, why are you not staying hard? Is it because of me? What's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with this?
Oh, my God. Something like that. Who would say that?
My stepmom.
Okay. Nuh-uh.
No.
I can't think of anything that was said to me, but I guess the worst thing is just absolute quiet when there's, like, no sound at all.
Yes, that's a really good point. The like the void of anything being said when it's just like and you just hear gloopy sounds. Final thought. Let's get into you know what? I'll share this one that no one's gonna fucking like, but I loved it. And it made this is in vegan. So trigger warning. This is in the subreddit Vegan. It says the first people to compare animal slaughter to the Holocaust were actually Holocaust survivors. It says when vegans compare factory farming to the Holocaust, meat eaters freak out because we're, quote, comparing Jewish people to animals. Actually, the entire point is how the actions of all humans are similar to the actions of the Nazis and bystanders who do nothing to help. But no one wants to think about that. In trying to avoid the comparison, I literally just read an author complaining that an animal Holocaust meme was anti-Semitic, ignoring that the quote on the meme was by a Holocaust survivor. They went on to say that what we do to animals is not as bad because it has a purpose. My question is this: would the Holocaust and torture of Jewish people in Germany have been less bad if it had a quote unquote purpose? I mean, how could someone even suggest that? Who would even agree with that? And then this person went on to find so many quotes from Holocaust survivors that are also animal rights advocates. Someone said in there, this was Isaac Bashevis, singer, said, in their behavior towards creatures, all men are Nazis. Human beings see their own oppression vividly when they are the victims. Otherwise, they victimize blindly and without a thought. Love that. I spent my childhood years in the Warsaw Ghetto, where almost my entire family was murdered, along with about 350,000 other Polish Jews. People sometimes will ask me whether that experience had anything to do with my work for animals. It didn't have a little to do with my work for animals. It had everything to do with my work for animals. And that's Alex Hirschhaft, Farm Animal Rights Movement founder and Holocaust survivor. I thought that was interesting because I'm always reluctant to call it a genocide and like compare it to the Holocaust too, because I don't want people to be like, how can you compare animals to humans? But I don't know. I think it's, I'm not saying it's, if animals could talk, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing to them is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just like thinking about all the
animals. As two Jewish people, what do you guys think about this?
Well, I think that, I don't know. I think a lot of things get compared to the Holocaust and then it's like, like
this part of the show?
No. Yeah. Like this thought that's about to come out of my mouth is like the Holocaust because it's a tragedy. But no, I think like, I don't know. I just saw like fucking 10 memes about anti-vaxxers putting on Jewish golden stars and comparing it to the Holocaust. And so I'm like, okay, maybe we don't have to. I don't know if it's so much about, like, the comparison as opposed to just making the comparison. Like, can't the Holocaust just be its own horrible thing and without it? You know, I think that's where some people might be, like, annoyed. Because yeah. I do think a lot of people go, oh, that's just like the...
I get that, but I feel like...
But I think the analogy, it's I get it. Like,
I think it's a way to get people on board because I think that the reason you use comparison is not to diminish... something else or not, or take away from the fact that it was a, like, one of the most horrific things that is imaginable. It's to make people understand that
how bad the other,
like, there's
is.
Something
how people yes, wrap their that. Minds around.
Yeah, it's not taken just by comparing. You don't take away from something. I mean, like, yes, there are times when people go like, "Oh my God, that flight was like the 9/11 of my life," and it's just like, okay, that's that could be offensive to people because you're using it as like a joke and like you're obviously hyperbolizing, using hyperbole. But I really appreciated that. And you know, there's always some, you know, I'm sure there are many Holocaust survivors that would be like, I would not compare it to that. So, you know, they found,
yeah, that's
five
what, that was my,
that actually yeah, do. Yeah,
that was my other point is like, I wonder how I would feel if a Holocaust survivor was like, yes, actually, being an anti-vaxxer and people talking shit about people that won't get the vaccine is like the Holocaust. And the guy's like, yeah, dude, you were in it for like 3 days. Like, you weren't even like full Holocaust.
And at this point, I'd be like, you're kind of, you have dementia right now. Because if you're a Holocaust survivor, you're but fucking if you old to, as yeah. hell. And, I mean, I think these quotes about the animal rights were taken from like the 80s and stuff when we had more, you know,
a subset, you know, yeah.
cognitively with it, Holocaust survivors. But I don't know. It was just an interesting thing that I obviously... have no right to say whether that's a right comparison or not, but I just thought it was interesting. And that's the final thought for the day, and I have to go do a full day of stuff. So I'm going to go. There are cameras zooming around me already, and I don't know why. Somebody broke into my house is filming me.
Weird.
Andrew, I'll see you out here.
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning?
Yeah, will you send me the address of the house, I guess?
I think you should just ask the people that have that information because it's buried somewhere for me. There's someone who has that information for you and it ain't going to be me.
You are,
it's not gonna
look out
be
your
May.
Window.
I know I could do that, but I don't, the road isn't listed on the house. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Just send Andrew a pin.
That's true. I'm not even going to do that. See you tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for listening. Don't be Kika and Jack
Kennedy.
Goff Smirnoff.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.